would this morning, turn with me in your Bibles once again to Proverbs 27. We're going to continue, and this mic might be a little hot. So, Henry, when you go back there, if you could turn it down a little bit. It'd be lapel. I think it's one or two. And just if I raise my voice, I don't want to blow the speakers or your eardrums. But we began talking last week about, actually the title of the message was The Deeds of a Friend. I think in hindsight I would entitle this message The Importance of Friendship. And when I talk about friendship, I talk about godly friendship. And it's great to have Gilda here and Maridel from the Philippines all the way with us. God bless you. And one of the reasons that we're taking time to talk about this topic this morning is that through Christ, God has not only given us the freedom and the privilege to know Him and to worship Him and to be fellowship, to be friends with Christ, but also to love one another. In fact, the Christian life, as we see seen taught in Scripture, but also exemplified in Scripture, in looking at the lives of the disciples and the apostles and the early church, believers were not meant to live life in isolation. We were meant to live life together as brother, literally brothers and sisters in Jesus. And being a brother and sister in Christ and being connected, and yes, an important part of being connected is coming out, you know, to church and worshiping God together. And of course, doing the how do you do on a Sunday morning. But true Christian fellowship is deeper than that, or should be deeper than that. For some, that's all it is. You know, I'm part of a church. I go out on, you know, I come out to church on Sunday morning. I shake a few hands. I may say hi to you if I bump into you at ShopRite or something, or sit with you at a few minutes at a picnic or something like that. But that's the extent as far as my connection with the body of Christ. And may I say, if that's the extent of your connection, you're doing God a disservice. You're doing yourself a disservice. You're doing those that you worship with a disservice. And you're also doing the world a disservice, those who don't know Christ. Because one of the greatest aspects or dynamics of our witness as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we demonstratively show that we love one another. Not that we're friendly. You know, it's one thing to be friendly with someone, and that's all well and good. But God does not say, be friendly with one another as I have been friendly with you. God says you need to love one another just as I have loved you. And so we're taking time to talk about that this morning because life was not intended, especially for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be lived alone. You know, think of the creative act, and, you know, I'm just going back for what we talked about last week, but, you know, the creative act, God created man, and after he created man, he said, it is good, but there was one aspect or one dimension of man that was not good, that being he was alone. It's not good that man is alone. I will create a helpmeet or someone to come alongside with him. And so he created Eve. And I thank God personally because God has blessed me with this relationship. I thank God for marriage. It is a wonderful gift from God to all humanity. Now, having said that, and it's a way that, just to take a step back this morning, you know, one of the ways God reveals himself to us tangibly today is not only through his word and not only through his spirit, but also through other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this by one of the names that God has given those who have chosen Christ to be Lord and Savior of their lives, that being the body of Christ. We're not equal to Christ. We're not the head. We don't call the shots. But we are God's visible, physical demonstration or representation on this earth. And so one aspect of, and a very important relationship that God has given us is marriage, you know, where you share someone's life. But not everyone is called to be married. And this, of course, was brought out by none other than Jesus himself. He said, you know, some people have been made eunuchs or been made incapable to be married. And, you know, some, and for unfortunate reasons, through death or divorce, some people are by themselves. God says that okay, that's okay because you are whole in me. I am more than enough for you if through some unfortunate circumstance you find yourself by alone. I am more than enough. And not only did Jesus say that, he said some of you are born eunuchs and not literally physically born a eunuch, but you are called to a life of singleness. But just because you're single, or maybe you're in a marriage relationship where your spouse doesn't know the Lord, it doesn't excuse you from having a close, personal, intimate relationship with another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that is critically important for you, for your soul, as well as for the other reasons that I've mentioned. And so we took time to talk about that last week. We talked about the essence of friendship, that being love. And this applies both to our friendship with God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, but also love your neighbor as yourself. And we talked about what love in the eyes of God truly is, as far as his love for us, and as far as how we demonstrate love to each other. That being the love that we just celebrated a few moments ago, the love of Jesus that says, I love you no matter what. I love you when you're good, but I love you when you're bad. I love you if you love me, but I love you if you hate me. I love you if you spit in my face, I will love you. That is the love of Jesus, and that is the love that we've been called to demonstrate to one another. And we talked about how that love, if that love is genuine, it needs to be seen and demonstrated in a spirit of sacrifice. Giving up of ourselves, our time, our resources, our, you know, how many know, especially some in difficult times, in crises, you have to really invest not just your time and your words, but your heart and your emotion in someone, especially when they're going through a difficult time. It's exhausting. But if you're loving the way Jesus Christ has loved us and has called us to love others, you're willing to exhaust yourself emotionally to help someone get through a difficult time. We talked about how a friend loves at all times, how friendship is consistent. I didn't share this story last week, but I'll share it this week. And it was a guy I knew back in Illinois before we came here, who I used to visit. And he was a farmer. And he was the type of guy that he always had something cooking. And I'm not talking about, you know, a scheme. He actually, in one of his barns, he had this big smoker. And he was always cooking something. And everybody was always over there, you know, just eating and having a good time. And then he suffered a debilitating stroke. And, you know, he recovered from the stroke somewhat. He was still able to walk, but not well. On one side, his skin was very, very sensitive, so he didn't go out very much, and it made him difficult to shake hands and do different things. He couldn't speak any longer, and if you were to go and try, you couldn't have a conversation with him. You could talk to him, but he couldn't talk back to you other than nod and laugh. He understood everything, he just couldn't communicate. And all the friends that he had, and his... Now I go visit him. His wife was a member of our church, and all the friends that he had, and he had many, in a very short amount of time, all disappeared except for one. There was one big, burly guy who would come and just spend like 10, 15 minutes with him every so often and just talk with Bob. All the rest, they were not really friends. They didn't understand. They were friendly, but not friends because they didn't understand sacrifice. And friendship, according to the Word of God and the demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that's consistent. It's something that, and I'm just sharing these shortly this morning because we talked about it last week, It's something that's provocative. Why do we love God? Yeah, I won't ask for a show of hands. How many love God this morning? And I imagine many, if not all, of our hands would shoot up. Darlene's got both hands up. Amen. We love God. Why? The Bible says He first loved us. It was Him who made the first move towards you and towards me. It was Him who left heaven to come down. And it was His Holy Spirit that began to not only convict me that I was a sinner, which wasn't too hard because my mother always told me, it always made me feel bad. But you know what I'm saying? That I was a sinner and I needed a Savior and I was just a kid. And so my embracing of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but my embracing of Jesus as the lover of my soul came because He approached me first. And friend, and I think one of the reasons, because I think there's an absence or a dearth or a void of meaningful friendships, friendliness, not friendships, because people lack to take the initiative like Jesus did. And so we talked about that some last week as well. We talked about the importance of communication. And we're going to move on. But before we do, let's read our text this morning. It's from Proverbs 27, verse 6. And we'll actually talk more about this in 2 weeks. Next week, of course, Brother Tom's going to be sharing. And Scripture says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. We thank You for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this room and in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we desperately need Your Holy Spirit to continue to move upon us as we look to Your Word this morning. As we study Your Word, we ask once again for Your anointing to not only be with this, Your speaker today, but also upon everyone who's here. Open up our hearts to the truth of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to learn and to grow. And we ask this in Your wonderful holy name. Amen. Amen. Last week, as I mentioned, we talked about how love, or one of the biggest dimensions of genuine love within a friendship is sacrifice. If you truly love someone, you're willing to sacrifice anything that you have for them. Your time, your heart, your emotions, your resources, even time with your family. We are to be to our friends as Jesus is to us. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Which leads us to this question, does that mean, Pastor Randy, that I have to choose between my friends and my family? And the answer to that is yes and no. But I think it's very important to talk about that this morning, because God wants us to live righteously in all of our relationships. And some people have taken their devotion to their friends to the point where they've not sacrificed, they've neglected their families. And because of that, their families have suffered, and both their marriages and their children or their parents, their relationship with them deteriorated greatly or were affected greatly. And there's a verse that we read in Scripture that sometimes that we think of that kind of tends us to think that, you know, maybe friends are to be preferred above family. And we find this Scripture in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. And this was a time when Jesus was preaching and teaching. And you know, because He was the healer, and because He delivered people from demonic spirits, and because He preached with authority, there was a mob wherever He went. And so it was difficult. That's how I know I'm not equal with Jesus. There's not a mob here this morning. But you know, it was difficult to press in and to see Jesus. And so Jesus' mother and brothers were there, and they came to see Him, and they couldn't get in because of the crowd. So they got word to Jesus, hey, your mother and your brothers are out there. And this was the response of Jesus. Who are my mother and my brothers, He asked. Then He looked at those seated in a circle around Him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. And of course, that's talking about the close bonds that we have when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We are more than just church members. If you know Jesus, if the blood of Christ has been applied to your life, we're more than just friends. We are blood because we might not share the same DNA, but we certainly share the same blood of Jesus that's been applied to our lives. We've been adopted into the family of God. We are now, we can truly call the Heavenly Father. Now we can call Him our Father. So we are now brothers and sisters in Christ. And let me tell you, you can ask anyone, any family who has ever adopted, you know, a loving, I'm not talking about a dysfunctional family, a loving family. You talk to any loving family that has adopted a child into their family, they don't consider, let me ask you, Brother Larry, you don't consider Lizzie or Casey or any of your five adoptees any less of your kids as your own biological? Not at all. They are just as much of your children, and the same with, you know, with Bob and Mary Ellen and many others in our church family who have demonstrated this. We are our brothers and sisters in Christ. But how do we reconcile that in the dynamic of family? Because we've all experienced this, and I probably more so because of my position. Let me just share a couple things and a couple stories from Scripture. First, regarding marriage. And let me tell you regarding marriage. Marriage is before friendship. And why I say that is not because I just think that or I read it in a book someplace. What did God first give Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden? A bro or a wife? He didn't say, it's not good that man be alone, so I'm going to get him a bro, and they can just hang out and have a good old time. He gave him a wife, a human being with which he could share everything mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. One, you know, the emotional, because there's something different about romantic love. It's no less intense than love that friends should have for another. It's just deeper because there's that affectional component. And of course, there's sexual intimacy that comes between a man and a woman. Marriage is unique. In fact, the book of Hebrews says regarding marriage, it's honorable above all. Now, I'm not saying at some times you need to sacrifice time with your spouse in order to help a friend. That's going to happen. But it's not an excuse to neglect your spouse and use your friend as an excuse to, let me get out of the house. So I was going to say before the old lady gives me something more to do, but I wouldn't say that. Raylene's not here today, so please don't tell her I said that. She's down with her back. Thank you so much for her prayers, and we're looking forward to her surgery next month. Amen. And then there's the issue of relationship between father and mother and brother and sister and friend. How do we walk that tightrope between the two? Or should there even be a tightrope? And there's a good story from Scripture that gives us wisdom how to love our friends and our family at the same time. Because you might think in, you know, trying to be a good Christian, trying to love others, that God has called you to do something impossible. And you know what? You would be right. But I have found because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, even though in myself it is impossible, with God all things are possible, including walking this tightrope between friend and family, which I think just means getting rid of the tightrope altogether. And the story I'd like to share with you is a story of two best friends in the Bible, Jonathan and David. David being the second king of Israel, a man who was after God's own heart. He loved God. He was an honorable man. Everybody loved David, except for one man, the king of Israel. His name was Saul. And when people started singing David's praises, because David was a good-looking guy, and if you study David's life, he was a ladies' man, and that wasn't so much a good thing, got him into trouble. And he was a victorious guy. He was musical. He was spiritual as far as he had a close relationship with the Lord. And he was also a mighty warrior. He not only defeated Goliath, but every campaign he went on, he was successful. People noticed. And you know how people are. People love the next best thing coming around. David was the next best thing. And so they sang, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul, it didn't go over too good with Saul. Especially, not to get too deep into the story this morning, especially because Saul knew that his days as king were numbered. And so Saul hated David. And Saul set out to kill David, at one time even throwing a spear at David. And other times trying to orchestrate his death. You know, what I'll do, this will get David. I'll tell him, listen, I have my beautiful daughter here, and whoever kills 1,000 Philistines, I will give them my beautiful daughter. And David was, sure, I'll do that. I'll become a son-in-law and the king. And Saul wanted David to do that because he knew David would never be able. Sure enough, not long thereafterwards, David delivered the foreskins of 1,000 Philistines at the foot of Saul. And Saul's most hated enemy became his son-in-law. Talk about a dysfunctional family. And things did not get any better from that point, even though at every point along the way, David conducted himself honorably. He knew that he would not survive if he stayed in Jerusalem, or where Saul was leading. It wasn't Jerusalem, I forget the name of it. But if he stayed in Saul's court, he would not survive much longer. And so he shared, because he was a friend, and I don't think we'll get to it today as far as talking about iron sharpens iron, you know, what makes up a good friendship and what do true friends do and why it's so important and necessary. So David, because Jonathan was his true friend, in fact, he said regarding his friend Jonathan, I view my friendship with him better than the love of a woman. That's how deep his affection was. And he meant that in the purest of senses. And it was demonstrated the fact that he could share anything on his heart with his friend, even something distressing or maligning about his friend's own father. And he said to Jonathan, I've got to go, I've got to leave, because your father's going to kill me. And Jonathan would be like anyone else who has respect, because, you know, Saul was, you know, a successful king, and there were some bright spots in Saul's life. And, of course, you know, most children look up to their parents, and they can do no wrong. So, no, it's not possible, David. He would never do that. And so what Jonathan did, and it's a friendship that Jonathan had towards David, he said, what I will do, and literally, when I say, and this is literally what he was doing, he said, I will literally put my life on the line by approaching Saul. You might be saying, put his life on the line. Yes. Let me tell you, in those days, I know a lot of people are upset with the government and the way the government and different things works today. In those days, if the king didn't like you and wanted you dead, you were dead. No Supreme Court, no jury, you were dead. That's it. It's all said and over with. And so Jonathan said, I will go before my father and I will ask him myself if he desires to kill you. And, you know, and they had, you know, a certain different signal that if everything was okay with Saul, that David, he would do something and David would know it was all right and he could stay. But if Saul truly hated David, he would send him a certain sign and he would flee away. And Jonathan did just that. He went to his father and asked him about David. And the Bible says that Saul was so enraged that he picked up a sword. And this is how deep his hatred was of David. He took up his sword and threw it at his son Jonathan. Now you might ask, well, how does that show us how to, you know, walk this type or the balance between loving our family and loving our friends? That being this, love searches for and lives for the truth. There is no fear in love because love is truthful. And what Jonathan did, he wasn't trying to help David and hurt Saul as much as he was trying to find the truth out in the situation. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do for your friend or your family is to share with them the truth. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. We won't get to it then. And from that moment on, Jonathan still refused to pick sides. He continued to love both of them. The Bible tells us that he warned David. He let him know that Saul was going to kill him, and so he gave him a running head start so that he could, you know, get out of the land of Israel and into a place of safety. And he stood with his father to the bitter end. And when I say bitter end, he stood with his father till both his father and himself died on the battlefield. In Christ, because Christ is love, and because Christ empowers us to love, he gives us the ability to love completely everyone, friend and family alike, including simultaneously. And this is, you know, this of course is seen in the scripture, and it's also seen in the life of Jesus. And I actually have, I plan on speaking on a lot more this morning, but I'm going to end right here because I just feel that we need to think about this today. Because I've been in church all my life, and I've been pastoring now for over 25 years. And I've seen what should be a blessing to families, that being faith in Jesus Christ, literally tear families apart. And the church needs to stop thinking about a choice between my friend and my family. We need to love like Jesus, where I'm going to love them both. I'm going to take C. A is my family, B is my friend, C is both of these above. I am going to love them both. Earlier I mentioned the scripture where Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers and my sisters?" Those who do the will of the Father, they are my mother and my brother and my sister. You know what Jesus didn't do? That he was not disowning his mother. And the reason that we know that is this. When he hung on the cross, one of the few people who came before Christ that day as he hung on the cross in his final hours before his death and his burial and resurrection was his mother with John. And he looked upon his mother and he said, "Woman," and in those times that was a title of respect. "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." The reason he was doing that was because he, as the oldest in his family, the responsibility of taking care of his mother was upon him. And that responsibility he had not relinquished. Isn't that kind of amazing? He's the son, he's the creator of the world. He's the Son of God. He's the most highly sought after speaker. I don't mean to be disrespectful, you know, but people are coming to see him. But because Jesus fulfilled every aspect of the law, he at no point relinquished his responsibility or neglected his responsibility to honor his mother until his death. Not that he wasn't going to rise again, but because he was going to arise and then ascend. He'll longer be on the earth. John, take care of my... Henry's going to come this morning. So where does that leave us? And I don't think we need to go into a great conclusion this morning in thinking some wild or... Not wild, but intricate plan that we need to have, or, you know, intricate steps we need to have this ability to love our friends and our family. All we need is for a deeper revelation and ministry of God's love within our hearts and lives. Let me tell you, I know most of you here, if not all of you, and I know that you've experienced the love of God, and I know you demonstrate the love of God because you have just so wonderfully have demonstrated it to me. And as wonderful and as precious as that is, God wants to reveal more of his love, not only to you, but through you.
Amen. And give you a greater capacity to love. God doesn't want your household to be divided. God doesn't want your wife and your kids to feel, oh, you know, daddy loves strangers that he doesn't even know more than me. And let me tell you, I have been there. And it's easy to make your family feel like second-class citizens. And I'm sure all of, you know, the ministers who are here can say the same thing. I'm beyond, you know, even in people's job, daddy loves his job more than me. And, you know, I'm not talking about a certain amount of time. I'm talking about quality and valuing everyone in your life equal as precious in God. And in these closing minutes of the message this morning, praise God, there are times if we're going to be counted as a friend, we have to sacrifice, including sacrificing time with our families. But let me tell you what will allow your family to deal with that sacrifice. When they're okay and then someone's in need and maybe you have to miss some family time, you know, that happens and it's a necessity that happens. And sometimes it's the Holy Spirit just impresses you. If you have that same love and determination that you do, especially for like a new convert in Christ, you don't lose that just sense of awe and appreciation you have for your wife and for your children, your brother and your sister. And they're okay with that because they know it's not competition. They're sharing a minister of God with someone else. You know, in feelings of resentment, you know when they happen? They happen when we start taking family for granted. And beginning with me, all of us are guilty with doing that with the familiar people in our lives. We just take them for granted. So in closing prayer, and Lizette, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and I don't have the mic, unfortunately. I'm going to ask you to close in prayer and ask God in the name of Jesus just to reinstill within our hearts and lives a heart and appreciation and gratitude for our loved ones, our family, that we would view them just as wonderful and as precious as, you know, the newborn babe in Christ or, you know, our good friend in Jesus. We would never, ever, ever take any of our loved ones, friends or family, for granted in the name of Jesus. Lead us in the prayer this morning.